This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. We're already up to week 9 of The Bachelor. It feels like we started this just yesterday or 10 years ago. Joining us, as always, is Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
This week we had the Women Tell All. And to be fair, like most years, they didn't really tell much.
Or anything.
There are a couple questions I want to ask you before we get into the very important things that were covered. And it just felt weird to me with all the stuff going on with Chris to have him like waxing poetic about, you know, you want bloopers.
Yeah.
But should this have even been an episode? And I don't mean, obviously they filmed it before any of that stuff happened. Obviously not the stuff with Rachel, because Rachel, the contestant.
Yeah.
But the stuff with Rachel, the former bachelorette, hadn't happened yet. So should they have even aired this?
We definitely didn't need it. They definitely made sure to state that previously recorded, they weren't just throwing Chris on air with everything going on, which also, side note, everyone was upset because his episode of Celebrity Wheel of Fortune aired last week too. I don't think we needed it. They could have just given us a week off in light of that and the fact that we didn't really need any of this information.
I agree, by the way. And I'm not offended by them airing it. It just felt weird. But they didn't give us any real new information. It's not like they built up anyone there to be Bachelorette. And that doesn't mean the Bachelorette wasn't there. Whether you think it was maybe they thought Piper was a good choice, because out of nowhere, they're like, hey, Piper, here's 20 minutes to talk when you weren't really that big of a character.
You didn't even get 20 minutes in the whole season.
Right. And even Katie, who got a lot of time, but they still left in the girl sort of throwing a bunch of junk at her. So it's not even like they gave her this soft landing for her to be the Bachelorette. I just don't know what it accomplished other than, I guess, sort of completing their, and I don't mean an actual contract, but their like handshake contract with these women that like, hey, at the very least, you're going to get this time to, you know, get your one-liners off, which you could tell a handful of people had these applause lines that they worked on.
Right.
And delivered, but without an audience, they just, obviously it doesn't land. And so they're delivering it. And then it's just
like Mari. Crickets. Mari had a lot to say. And I was like, she didn't even look familiar to me, honestly. And I feel like every Women Tell All, they like producers pick one, not a nobody, but like someone who didn't really have that much camera time during the season to ask questions and chime in with tough liners for people being targeted. I don't know if it's a way of saying, oh, maybe if you do this, maybe you have a shot at Paradise.
Oh, right. Something. That's a good call.
It would be interesting to see if and when we ever do get Paradise back, if Mari would be considered for that.
Maybe they just had this date in mind that this has to be our finale, and so we need something to fill there. Honestly, I would have been happier with them just showing us 2 hours of the dates that they cut, because, you know, in the bloopers, which was really just unseen footage, we finally got to see some of these, maybe not even the full dates, but portions of these dates that just for one reason or another, they decided not to air. And I thought some of this stuff was actually pretty funny. So, I mean, I would have been
They had some good content.
Yeah, I would have been more interested in 2 hours of like, hey, can I see Matt with JoJo and Becca, you know, eating hot wings? Like, how, or Tayshia, yeah, rather? Like, Tayshia. That would be awesome.
Yeah. And instead this season we got so much repetition of Victoria and MJ and just all that petty drama that was repeated week after week.
Exactly.
Which got so annoying.
And for some reason they decided, let's bring this front and center. It's not as if they waited, okay, we'll give Victoria and the Mean Girls, you know, 5 minutes at the end or something and let them yell at each other and move on. I mean, this was sort of like, okay, guys, let's jump right into the stuff nobody wanted to watch in the first place.
Yeah.
And so I guess my question is sort of covers all of the Mean Girls, not just Victoria. But did we find out anything useful from them sort of going back and forth?
I don't think so, honestly. I think Victoria gave no apologies. Like, she does not care at all what she did. And even like at this point, you watched back yourself being portrayed like that and you still have no apologies. Like, it's kind of messed up. But she kind of deflected and said, like, what's the big deal? What, like, are you a sensitive person? Like, why?
Oh, that was the worst.
Why are you being so sensitive? And then the worst part is when she was talking to Ryan about, you know, dancers and calling her Ho because she was a dancer. She was like, why are you holding on to all this anger and you're just not letting it go? And Ryan was like, because we were just asked about it. We're talking about, like, this is what the show is. The show is hashing up this, you know, these past situations that happened, and you have to talk about it. Like, that's the point of the show. But I think Anna did give a genuine apology. Like, I honestly think that she's sorry and she can't believe it got that out of hand. I don't think she was expecting it to get like that. But I thought she had, I guess, the most genuine apology of the night, which isn't saying much, but I would believe her if she was apologizing to me for that. It seemed actually genuine.
Yeah, I probably should have mentioned that. That's a good point, because everyone else seemed to take the route of, if you're offended, you know, like, if I offended you, like Anna said, there is nothing she can say that will make it okay. There's no excuse. And so I like the fact that it was just, I'm not going to sit up here and try to deflect it back on you. And, oh, it was editing, or we were all just in a bad spot. It was just, I messed up.
Yeah.
And I lashed out, and watching it back, it just makes it even worse. That was one that I think is probably important for people to see, you know, especially as we get into future seasons and you're going to have people thinking, okay, I know that, like Victoria, I know I'm not going to be the person at the end, so let me just drop a grenade and watch it all burn.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't go that route, because guess what? That's pretty crappy. And not only does it show the type of person you are, but it just, I think it affects so many more people than even just the one person, or in Victoria's case, every person, but the one person that you're attacking. Because as bad as what Anna did was to Brittany, I think just sort of gave a wave to this whole attack on not just the new girls, anybody that wasn't part of the, like, let's make fun of everybody else group.
Brittany did bring up basically what we said the past few weeks, is that whenever she like Googles her name and everything, like that's the only thing basically that comes up. So none of her achievements or anything will ever pop up first. Like, this will always be what pops up first. And I think Anna actually realizes that and understands how big of a deal it was that she started this rumor.
Guess what? Doesn't matter if it's true. Anytime someone Googles her name, or even Googles Bachelor Escort, her name pops up. So they don't even have to be searching for her specifically. Just search for the controversy and guess whose name pops up. Because I think what Anna realized is exactly what MJ should have realized when MJ and Jesenia, I don't even want to call it a back and forth because it wasn't even really that. You know, MJ just continued lying again by like, oh, I owned it with Matt. And I know we didn't see all of the footage. Don't you think they would have shown us that at some point? If she actually had owned anything?
Nothing changed in the MJ versus Jesenia. It obviously had to be addressed because it was a big part of one episode. But nothing changed. No stories changed. No one apologized. Basically just repeating what happened.
With Jesenia saying that she didn't regret going to Matt about it. And I think it's also part of a bigger issue of, same thing with Katie. We talk about it year in and year out. Like, you don't go to the star to complain about the men or the women in the house. But I do think each of these times was totally a different situation. It wasn't, oh, I need to save myself, so let's make up some fake things to get him questioning them and maybe I get an extra week. It was, this is super, you know, drink, super toxic, but it needs to be that he needs to know what's happening, because otherwise he's just going to keep going into these dates, and whether it's groups or one-on-one, and just have no idea about the type of person this is.
Yeah. I think that's what Piper brought it up to Katie and said, what did you think that you were getting out of confronting him? And she's like, it wasn't for more time or anything. Like, what I was experiencing in the house was not good. And I felt like I needed to bring it up because it was just going downhill.
Because there's always, and this is what we do, you know, there's always that question of, why would you do that? You know, like I said, every time we see somebody go, and usually it's going to their hotel room and, you know, I really need to address this with them. And then it's some next to nothing issue. Mm-hmm. And we know why they're saying it. They're doing it because, yes, they hope to stay an extra week, or maybe they think that that's going to give them a special connection because, you know, they're showing them the real part of someone else, even though it's almost always bogus. In this case, I really don't think Katie thought she was going to get anything out of it, because she did feel confident with where they were. Mm-hmm. And didn't think, as we saw with her goodbye, with the, you know, here's a rose, here's not a rose. She didn't think she was going anywhere. So if anything, something like that, she might be thinking in the back of her head could actually hurt her. But it was just something that needed to be addressed because it was really, really unhealthy.
Yeah, you could tell last night, like, she definitely was considering herself a front runner, which I think we all were at some point. I thought she was not expecting to go home that night. And I'm surprised Chris Harrison didn't bring up anything about, like, Tyler and being on that date, which was weird, because that was, like, a main point of her going home and her one-on-one. But I also think they edited a lot of Chris's stuff out, maybe, because I felt like he wasn't as involved. Like, yeah, he still did all the interviewing and asking questions and saying, oh, like, here are the bloopers and stuff like that. But I feel like he didn't talk as much as usual. So I wonder if they just didn't realize that, and they just he just didn't say as much as usual, or if they actually edited, they're like, you know what, we have to get through this, but what can we take out that that isn't, you know, major content?
When in doubt, let's cut out Chris, because you know, we've seen how they can do that very quickly when they decide, okay, this person, you know, we talk about the edit all the time, and you know, this has been going on for a few weeks now, so they've had plenty of time to redo their edit, and I can guarantee you the scalpel is out and be like, okay, there's 3 minutes of Chris here trying to be high and mighty, we're gonna cut that out and let's splice that together, and that's gone. And instead, yeah, we're going to have to hear from Victoria a little bit more.
Yeah.
And the thing about Katie, and, you know, there are a lot of people thinking that, and, you know, we've talked about it, that of this group, that, you know, maybe she's the front runner to be the Bachelorette. You know, as much as people like Serena, if she wasn't ready 3 months ago to be married, I don't know.
You know, no, I don't think I like her. I don't think she can handle it.
Yeah. No. And it was very similar. Remember when Peter wouldn't tell Rachel that, OK, I'll propose. Well, then it doesn't make much sense to make him the Bachelor, even though, you know, I was Team Peter at the time.
Right.
Hard to justify making him the Bachelor when he doesn't want to get engaged.
Yeah.
And while that is not a prereq for how this show ends, sort of is a prereq for at least being wanting to get engaged to be the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're not going to meet with Neil Lane, then I mean, what's the point?
Get out.
Yeah, exactly. So whether it was Katie, who might be a favorite for Bachelorette, but did not get the, like I said, the soft landing. I mean, these women, I don't know that anyone really came to her defense at all.
Yeah, which was kind of surprising, but also not at the same time, because I forget who, I don't want to say called her out, but
pretty much everyone called her out. And if you're ABC and you've decided, okay, Katie's going to be our next Bachelorette, you either leave that on the cutting room floor, or you get somebody to serve as her protector, or, you know, she's just not in the running. And it's hard to imagine she's in the running if that's like, this is your launch, your kickoff for her is basically just people pounding on her.
Yeah. I didn't write down who it was, but someone brought up the whole Sarah situation, which unfortunately she wasn't there. I was kind of looking forward to her, but I think she's too busy doing a lot of Facebook and Instagram model ads. I'm not joking. She's all over my sponsored ads. Like for Love Your Melon hats and winter hats, and she's
mission accomplished.
Yeah, exactly.
Living the dream.
But someone brought it up and was like, you were the one who basically attacked her the most at first. And then you were like, okay, guys, like back off. You don't know what she's going through and all that. Which is right. Which is what we talked about that week that had happened. Like, I think everyone forgot that she actually did go after Sarah first, because then everyone was like, oh my gosh, Katie's the mediator of the house and she's like so great. And she is, but I'm saying, like, you didn't, like, I feel like everyone forgot that one scene of her
totally
going after Sarah first. And someone brought it up. I just don't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter. No. It's just the fact that if she's going to be the Bachelorette, this isn't exactly how you want to kick off that, that sort of campaign. And someone else who had been favored by a lot of people is Abigail. And I thought, just like everything else in her run in this show, I thought Abigail was great, but she also didn't get the huge prop up. I mean, no one was tearing her down, because what is there to tear down? She just seems like
nothing.
This sweet woman. But it also wasn't, okay, here you go, here's the softball. Like,
exactly.
Carry you up and you're going to be the Bachelorette. So, you know, whether it was these people that got decent amount of time and didn't, you know, Piper, Abigail, Katie, Serena, all didn't get as much time. I don't know that there's someone from here. I'm assuming one of them will be the Bachelorette. I just don't think any of them got the great boost that they usually get in this show.
Yeah, that's what I don't think that the Bachelorette was there last night.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, okay. Well, I did think it was Katie for a while, but I think I don't, after the way that she was, I don't want to say like treated last night, but kind of.
Yeah.
She definitely went down on the list, I think.
It's tough to launch a Bachelorette campaign off of that.
Yes. And I mean, I love Abigail, but I think maybe it could be one of the final three. Well, two of them.
Well, hey, listen, as you know, Chris didn't say a lot of important things last night, but he did say, you might know what happens, but I don't think you do. So maybe it could be any of the three. If he ends up single at the end, and he being the matchler, maybe it could be any of the three. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think so.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know what happens.
I think Michelle would be a great choice.
That's true. Because she's
a great person and she's funny, and they took, I mean, a lot of her funny aspects are only shown after the episodes, like in the bloopers, which is par for the course with what we saw last night. But, but I think she'd be great. I did like Serena P, but not after last week. I mean, I do like her, but after last week,
it was
just like, she had too many doubts in her mind, and she couldn't figure it out in that short of time, let alone if you bring in 30 guys.
Yeah, and you really do need your family on board if you're going to be the star of this show. And
yes,
for, which is weird to say because Matt's mother was super supportive at the beginning, but, and it could be just obviously editing, but it does not sound like she's necessarily the most supportive in the finale, but generally speaking, you need your family to be on board. And while I think Serena's family had their, they were in the right place and their heart was in the right place. I just clearly not like go get them in this situation. So I'm with you. I don't think that she's a legitimate option, and Michelle would be great if she's not the one at the end. Mm-hmm. It's clearly not going to be Rachel no matter what happens.
Yeah.
So I would think, I mean, has Bree even really gotten that much screen time? I mean,
no, I mean, I like her too. I just feel like we've gotten a little bit more of a wide emotion range to Michelle than we did Brie, but Brie could also be a great choice too if we get to see more of her.
Right, because we know nothing about anybody except Michelle.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean, okay, well, we know the most about her, so she gets to be the Bachelorette, but what we have seen, I think, has all been really strong because, like you said, she's shown, albeit in clips, that she can be really funny. And she's the only one that we've seen that had an actual, like, real life conversation with Matt. And there's something to be said about saying more than just, like, how are you handling this? And I'm trying to take my walls down and all the cliche stuff that people build these conversations around on this show.
Right.
And I don't know that there was a lot from the women beyond, I think, what we've touched on. The one thing that I think we need to address is earth-shattering stuff, and it might change the trajectory of this entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Matt's beard.
Oh, no. That was bad. That's bad.
Did you notice he walks out and to a person, the women were, oh, and not in a good way. But then as soon as Matt was saying, I don't know, I think I like it, everybody there was like, oh, yeah, no, you're pulling it off, dude.
My gosh, mm-hmm. It looks so good.
It's great. I think it's you should have had this the whole time.
Yeah, no.
I
no. Wasn't good.
I mean, I'm going on six months of of just letting it go, and it's not nearly as like. I mean, Matt is like full on lumberjack beard.
He looks much better shaven.
Yes.
Clean cut.
Yeah. So he's going less hair on top, more hair on the face. And I think he needs to quickly reverse that and let more of the hair go on top and clean up whatever's going on downstairs because.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah. It was something else. And the other thing with Matt that was. I never even noticed before they pointed it out, and clearly neither did he, that he keeps his eyes open.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He makes out with all these women. I don't know how I didn't pick up on that. I mean, maybe because the usually when they get into that noise function of the show, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really notice it watching it. And then as soon as, like, after the first or he didn't really – kiss that much on the first episode, but after that, like, everyone on social media started pointing it out, and then that's all I could see, so I just couldn't watch the kissing scenes anymore after I was able to point that out.
I mean, that's all I'm gonna see now for these last two episodes, is just every time he's making out, I'm like, oh yeah, that's great, he's just staring into nothingness. And for him to say it's because eye contact is so important. What are you making contact with? Well, her eyes are not open.
But he said he didn't know that he was supposed to keep his eyes closed. But no one's ever told you that, ever? Like, in your past relationships?
I don't understand what he thinks he's making eye contact with, though. Because there's no one...
I think he took it as, oh, I'm looking... Oh, she's so beautiful, and...
And you know, I was a little bummed about, and I understand he's trying to be the good guy, but he's sitting on the couch, or you know, the hot seat, and you know, he doesn't take Victoria to task, he doesn't take Anna to task, he doesn't take MJ to task. Instead, he's just sitting there basically telling everybody, no, I know you're really a good person and everyone's in a tough spot. And
That was one of the best things, I think. I think Serena C said, which I'm surprised we didn't hear more from her because she was just as bad in some situations, that she was like, oh my gosh, I hope you don't think bad of us, like, after watching it back. And like, yeah, okay. And he's just like, yeah, no one's a bad person. Like, you know, I can understand the pressure. And so, I'm like, no, you're all horrible people.
Yeah, I don't understand how you can just let people off the hook. And I don't think, listen, doing one bad thing shouldn't ruin you for the rest of your life or follow you around, much like what you did to Brittany. Anna is going to follow her around.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a month later, we can't just be like, all right, you guys are good people and I know what's in your heart, so A-okay. That just seems a little weird. And Serena P., right, she was the one that went further.
Was the one that did hometown.
You know, and when she was, you know, basically trying to have a conversation with him about their relationship and how, you know, I wanted to get closer to you or whatever, and then they just basically ended up saying the same thing they said when they were on the couch together in the hotel, and it's like. Not that I expected like these deep, you know, walls to come down that we've never seen before, but I don't know. It seemed like every single person, it was just like, I'm just going to say to you, much like Piper, like, well, what happened? Well, I just built my other relationships went further. I'm like, well, duh. Like, yes, I get that. But there was nothing specific. They were like, okay, yeah.
Nothing else you can give us?
Seriously. And, I did think that the bloopers section should have just been the whole episode because
or just in the actual season.
Well, that too, because the ring episode where they're reaching into these boxes full of bugs and stuff. How are you telling me that's not going to be the highlight of any episode?
Yeah, good content.
Great content.
We didn't just need Victoria every week.
Yeah, JoJo and Tayshia with hot wings. That's incredible content. How are we not getting them like running around trying to find milk to douse this super hot wing that they're tasting? Like, this is the content America needs, people.
Hide and seek, getting lost.
And then Matt trying to skateboard in front of Kit and show off, and then he totally bites it and almost kills himself for like the third time this season. Yeah. How are these things that you're saving until like the third to last episode of the year?
Producers are off their game this year.
Oh, well. I think that leads to the bigger issue with this this franchise, which, you know, people who like, hey, I'll take 5 minutes and do a Twitter search can vet these people better than you guys can, apparently, in your interview process. But what I also didn't realize until, you know, they're announcing, you know, March 15th, the finale, I'm thinking, wait, this isn't over next week? Oh,
I know.
Okay, cool. Okay, yeah. so we get two more weeks. And, you know, next week, I guess we're finally going to get to, I hope they don't make us wait the 2 weeks for it. The, you know, are you okay? No, I'm not. Why are you not okay? We need to know.
Hopefully it's a good reason and it's not like he like tripped into a wall or something.
I really wanted to show her how good I was on a skateboard. That's what drove Kit away. And now this is going to drive Bree away because I can't do a trick on a skateboard. I mean, no, I don't think
it could be ridiculous like that. We don't know. Oh, they fooled us before.
So next week we get Fantasy Suites. Then the week after that is the final rose. And with the final rose comes after the final rose. And you know who won't be a part of that is Chris Harrison.
Correct.
And in his place is someone that, you know, I first knew as a football player, being an NFL fan. And then to see him now do these incredible conversations where it's like uncomfortable conversations. And Emmanuel Acho, A-C-H-O, he's going to be taking over for Chris. And, you know, there's been talk that, you know, Rachel Lindsay would do it. But I think, you know, if you just go to YouTube and Google Emmanuel Acho, I think you'll see why he was a good choice for this, even though it sort of came out of left field for Bachelor people, because he's never been part of this Bachelor.
I don't think
nation.
That's a bad thing, though.
No, not at all. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Especially considering the backlash that the show has gotten, not just from everybody, but specifically from Rachel and Rachel Lindsay, that is. Yes. And talking about how, like, maybe I'm done with my contract after this because, you know, they just don't get it and they continue to not get it. And why is it always just they make a mistake and then I get to try to clean up their
mess? Fix it.
Yeah. And that's just not fair to her. And so I think that this is something that, and I haven't seen if Rachel Lindsay has commented on this, but I would think this is someone that she can get behind because he's not going to get on this show and just patty cake and let people get away with non-answers and not in a gotcha way or a bad way. It's just like, we need to have a conversation. You can't just come up here and talk in circles and not actually
talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's just basically my long way of saying I think it's a good choice.
Yes, as do I.
And so who he picks, we shall find out. And I think it's going to be an emotional show after the final rose, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But if he picks Rachel, just like we were saying, I don't know if it's Chris is going out of his way to try somehow to defend her if it's not her. But if it is her, I think this final episode after the final rose is just going to go to another level because they're just the conversation needs to be had either way. But especially if she's the last person, I mean, I don't know what else you spend your time on. And it should be all that anyways, but especially if she's the last one.
Yeah, I'm like looking forward to it, but at the same time, I'm like, it could be really like uncomfortable situations if she is the last one and has to come on the show and just see basically the timeline of how everything mm-hmm. worked out and what she, I guess, quote unquote, is allowed to say. And I think it's going to be one of the most dramatic after the final rose.
And just like everything sort of has fallen on Rachel Lindsay, this is potentially all going to fall on Matt James. And
yeah,
it's just like with Rachel. I know, just like with Rachel Lindsay, it's unfair to him that because of what this person did that he obviously had no idea about, he's going to be in the spotlight on it and having to unpack this right away. And so it will be uncomfortable, and I think it's necessary, and because it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm with you, though. It's going to be something different. So, but next That's week sure. we get fantasy suites, and this is what usually now it apparently started in week one this year, but this is now when people start freaking out that, oh my God, he's dating other people. And it starts to sink in for some reason when you're down in the final three, where it's, oh my God, he just had sex with me and now he's going to go have sex with someone else. Ah, why is it doing this?
Yeah. Not in the other 8 weeks, but this is when
This is when it matters. So we will see that next week. Anything else going on in Bachelor Universe?
Yes. So the executive producers finally came out and made a statement to support what Rachel Lindsay is going through, and is asking really to stop all the bullying and the hate messages.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, which because I don't really look too far into stuff. I never go into the comments section.
Yeah.
But I didn't even realize she was getting this sort of hate.
Yeah.
I can't even comprehend it. What, she has done nothing wrong. If anything, she's done everything right. And what is wrong with people?
Yeah, I don't really understand how that came about. But she has deactivated her Instagram because it got so bad.
People are the worst.
So she's no longer on Instagram, but they came out with a statement to support Rachel. Still, they haven't said anything about Chris Harrison. I'm assuming that would come after the season at some point when they're allowed to just talk really about anything and everything. The other Rachel, finalist Rachel, put out a 7-minute Instagram video about how she was understanding that what she did was wrong and how she's learning. And it was really just 7 minutes of that and saying that she'll say more later when she can. So that was her video statement, I guess, for now. And then I don't know if you heard about Taylor Nolan and all of her stuff.
I did yesterday because of what's his name? Oh my God! Of course, that tells you nothing. The real uppity dude. Tell the story. I'll figure out who I'm trying to say.
Well, like eight or 9 years ago, she tweeted some really bad stuff.
Jordan Kimball. That's where I found out. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, Jordan. The tweets were really bad, and I don't know if you saw the screenshots.
Oh, I did, and I will not repeat any of them.
And I will not either. But they are really bad. And she's known for coming out, and she's a psychologist. And she's always
intelligence is off the charts.
That's where we first heard emotional intelligence in the franchise was with her fights. But she was she's all about like peace and equality and like making sure no one fights on Twitter. Like she's very laid back and making
sure. She's also been leading the Fire Chris Harrison.
Yes.
charge as well, which no matter who's doing it, I don't have a problem with that. But at the same time, certain, and we talked about this, certain people you have to watch out when they sort of hijack something, make sure it's not for the cause and it's for themselves, because clearly she has some work to do of her own.
Yeah, they were pretty bad tweets. And the fact that they're still circulating out there, which, like, at least with a lot of, you know, the stuff with Rachel's stuff happening, like, I don't think many people got too many. Like, there are screenshots out there if you do some digging. But I feel like Taylor's tweets are just still circulating out there, and they're
and she has not said boo about it. And her own podcast is Let's Talk About It. And guess what? She doesn't want to talk about it, apparently.
Well, she put out a statement yesterday. Well, 2 days ago, she brought it up. It was more of stop attacking me for it. Like, it wasn't apologizing. And then everyone started flipping out about that. And she's like, I'm disabling all my comments on my posts because I'm getting death threats, blah, blah, blah.
And that's not right either. Can we stop with the death threats, please?
Exactly. That's not helping anything.
No. Hold their feet to the fire. Same thing with Victoria. She's like, oh, death threats. Like, no, don't. The girl was being a jerk, but can we stop, like, threatening their lives, please?
Yeah. So 2 days ago, she posted a 5-page letter on Instagram talking about it, but not really apologizing for it.
So she didn't actually talk about it at all.
Yeah. And then yesterday she commented again and she's like, sorry, yesterday's response was a reaction, not an apology. And then that's a 3-page apology about learning and doing better every day, blah, blah, blah. Basically what everyone else is saying that happens when they're caught doing something. So that's Taylor.
Oh, God.
There. And to end on a happy note.
Yes, please.
Our friends Jared and Ashley are trying for a baby.
Yay. That's exciting.
And they've done articles about trying for a baby. So
let's hopefully they keep some of the details out of it. But I mean, I think we all know the basics. At least I hope so. Maybe Matt doesn't, because, you know, he needed to know about, you know,
closing his eyes.
Yeah, not keeping your eyes open. And apparently his first kiss ever, he drew blood by biting someone's lip. So, but congratulations, or pre-congratulations, I guess. Remember, Ryan and Katie are fantastic names. And so.
And remember, it always could be twins.
Or triplets. We will continue to remind them that. But pre-congratulations to those two. And so next week we get Fantasy Suites, and then the finale, and then after the final rose, and on and on and on. At Bachelor Podcast on all socials. We'll not be reposting the Taylor stuff, but just do a search. You'll find it. Yeah. It's pretty gnarly. If you go to Jordan's site, he had no problem.
Jordan's Twitter account actually still has the screenshots.
Yeah, he has no problem sharing them. So you can go over there, but I do not feel comfortable.
We're not reposting.
That's how bad it is. But as always, thank you for listening. Katie, thank you for your insight as always.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200+ classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.